Lord, we just ask you that you'd help us tonight, Lord, to hear what you would have, what you would say to us, Lord, that our hearts would be open and receptive to the Word of God, and Lord, that we would be teachable. I pray, Father, that you help us to see, Lord, not only the truth of your Word, but how to apply it in our life each and every day. And may you be glorified in it, in Jesus' name. Well, tonight the message is get ready. We need to be ready. Did you know that ready is the Royal Ranger motto? That's the boys program that we have on Wednesday nights. It's much like a Boy Scout program. The Boy Scout motto is be prepared. I never got to be a Royal Ranger, but I was a Boy Scout. And I know a little bit about that. And, you know, that's one reason the Boy Scout got to carry a backpack, is so he can be prepared for whatever comes. He's got that backpack full of stuff. And mine was always heavy because I like to be ready for whatever happened. Well, just for fun, I read a story about a Boy Scout and three other people that were traveling on a small plane. And after a while, the pilot came out of the cockpit and he said, "We got a problem. We're going down." He said, "And here's a bigger problem. There's five of us and there's only four parachutes." And with that being said, he jumped out with one of the parachutes. So that left three parachutes and four passengers. One man stood up. He said, "I'm a doctor, and I'm real close to finding a cure for cancer. So for the sake of humanity, I've got to have one of those backpacks." And he grabs one, and he jumps out. Another man stood up, and he said, "I'm the smartest man in the world, and it would be too great a loss for me to die in a plane crash." So he grabbed a parachute and he jumped out. Well, that left a boy and a priest. And the priest said, "Young man, I've lived a good life. You go ahead and take the last parachute, and I'll just be fine." And the Boy Scout, he said, "Well, sir, we're both going to be fine because the smartest man in the world just jumped out of the plane with my backpack." Don't you love it when things go like that? Here's my backpack. For real, this is my backpack. I like carrying a backpack instead of a briefcase because I can throw it over my shoulder. Now, y'all are going to learn a little weird thing about me tonight that my wife can verify is actually much worse than what you're going to see. But this is my backpack. And in here, I have, these are insurance cards, not just for my vehicles, but all the church vehicles, because I got to be ready. You just never know what you're going to need. And then, I'll try to keep this less than 10 minutes. So then I got eyeglasses that I don't like to use, but I got them just in case I got it, right? Then I got a bunch of pens. I won't pull those out. And then, well, here's where it really gets interesting. Well, I got some Altoids. Some of you might need some of those. Anyway, and then I have this bag in here. I don't like to carry 40,000 keys. So I got a bag full of keys. Every vehicle, every door, everything imaginable. All kinds of padlocks, you name it, I got it. I got a tape measure. Oh, and here's my doctor bag. It's a doctor bag. Well, it's just a bag that's got everything in it. Kid got stung by a wasp on our retreat. Well, I happen to have Bite MD for stings. Man, I was ready. You got Chaplix. I got my Carmex. I like Carmex because it's one letter off from Carmen. Then you got a stain on your clothes. I got Tide to Go. And y'all think I just did this because I'm preaching about this, but you can ask Carmen. It's really worse than this. Maybe you need some chewing gum. I got some chewing gum. Or maybe you need some Pepto-Bismol pills. I got those too. And, I got Band-Aids. You need, or this, well, here's a gauze patch. You need that? And I got some Neosporin in here and, dental floss, you really might need that sometime, somebody takes the preacher out for a steak. Well, it just keeps, let's see. In here, I got my iPad and my computer and, oh my goodness, there's that knife Robert gave me. And then, let's see, in here, I got a camera. You just never know when you want to take a picture, right? And then I got a bunch, here's some gift cards. Somebody blessed me at Christmas time with the restaurant gift cards. And do y'all get the idea? I have a backpack, so I'm prepared for everything. Now, yeah, it's a great big purse, ladies. Did y'all catch that? Here's my point, though. You know what? We are supposed, that's a little bit of a neuroses, I'm sure, but we are supposed to be prepared for some things, and I want to talk to you about that tonight, because I'm telling you, as a Christian, we need to be ready. We need to be ready for whatever God wants to do. And I'm telling you, a lot of the time, we miss what God wants to do just for the plain simple fact that we weren't ready. You got to make preparations. Got to be ready. See, there's all kinds of excuses why we're not ready when something happens, but we got to be ready. One guy called his wife. He said, "Honey, I got tickets to the show tonight." Or no, he said, "I got tickets to the show." And she said, "Okay, I'll start getting ready." He said, "That'd be good because it's for tomorrow night." Anyway, yeah. But you know what? Seriously, sometimes, you know, we don't start getting ready for something until it's really too late. And you know what? I'm thinking about some things right now. You know, we're going to be moving into a new building. We got to start getting ready. I'm just telling you, we got to get ready. We need to be ready for whatever God wants us to do, whatever He wants to do in and through our lives. But you know, a lot of the time, it amazes me that people are praying for God to do things that they're not ready for Him to do. They're praying, they're even asking Him for miracles, but they're not making any room for the answer to those prayers. You know what that tells me? They don't really believe. I'm telling you, but they say they believe. But if we really believe, then we're going to get ready for whatever it is that we're praying for. And I don't want to take this too far, but you know what? I think if you're believing God, now I'm not saying wishing and hoping, okay? If you're wishing and hoping, that's different. If you're believing God for a baby, you can get the nursery ready. Now, it might be ready for 15 or 20 years like it was for Abraham and Sarah, but you can go ahead and get it ready. But I'm just telling you, a lot of the time, we're not ready for a miracle. We're not ready for what God wants to do. I really believe this is a great year for Grace Church. Our small groups are really growing. We are going to have many more groups in the fall, and I'm believing the Lord for more leaders, more workers. Our children's ministry is beginning to grow. We got a great team of leaders doing a super job with our kids, and it's just going to continue to grow and take off. A church is growing, and we got to make preparations for the harvest that's coming in. Let me tell you how the harvest comes in, by the way. Workers go in the field. Jesus said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field." You know why? Because the harvest is ready. You know what that tells me? See, a lot of the time, we say we're waiting on God. No, we're not. God's waiting on us. It's our move. The harvest is ready. You got to pray the Lord send laborers into the field. That's why we're building a building. Get ready for a harvest. This is the honest truth. Well, let me preface with this. It is not in me to do maintenance ministry. It absolutely is not in me. There are too many people who need the Lord. There are too many people that are hurting, too many people whose lives are messed up, they're in bondage, too many people going to hell. I'm telling you, it is not in me to just babysit the saints and do maintenance ministry. It is not in me. But that being said, I want you to understand that I really believe we got to get ready for a greater harvest. We got to get prepared for that. And that's why we're building a building. If it was in me, and if we weren't getting ready for a greater harvest, well, my goodness, we could just stay right here. This is fine. There's nothing wrong with this. Well, it might not be as pretty. It might be nice to have our own building. But I'm just telling you right now, for all the trouble and hassle of building a new building and all of the things that go along with that, I'd just soon stay right here if it wasn't for the fact that we got a harvest a lot of people that need the Lord. So we got to get ready. Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
We're saying by faith. Amen. But we need to be ready for whatever God wants to do, especially when God wants to do new things, especially when God is moving us forward in His plan. Listen to this. It's familiar to some of you, but just listen to it. Listen. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, we got to be ready for the new things that God wants to do. Now, God cues you in, by the way. He right here, that's what He's doing. He's saying, I'm going to do a new thing. And I'm telling you, a lot of the time, God will cue us in if we're listening. Sometimes it may be by His Spirit or through the Word, but I'm telling you, a lot of times, He'll have a person, maybe a preacher, a pastor, standing up front telling you something. Get ready. Usually, we're only ready for change when it's our idea. And usually, our idea of change doesn't involve faith. But God's does. See, we always want to stay in the comfort zone. But if we're going to be ready for what God wants us to do in our lives, we need to be prayed up so that when He shows us a new direction and tells us what to do, that we're ready to go. We need to be ready for new direction, new things, new people. Isaiah 54 and 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Amen. He's talking about expansion. Are you ready for growth? Are you ready to have to park out back? Some of you are wondering, what? That's not figurative. I mean literally. Some of us already, we park out back on Sundays. In fact, some of us park out back on Wednesdays. But we park out back especially on Sundays because this parking lot being in this corner, people have to park way out. And I'm just telling you, if it means somebody getting in church and getting right with God, we need to park out back. So, you know, the church of Burleson that used to meet over there, there's a parking lot right there that is pretty much empty. And if you want to volunteer park out back, you walk up to that door by the trash cans and come on in. But I'm just telling you, we got to get ready. Are you ready for the day that you come into church and most of you got your little seat? If you don't have a seat, you at least have an area. You know, it's like, okay, well, I don't have to have that seat just as long as it's, you know, right in here, this row, or okay, maybe not this row, but the next one right. Anyway, you got your area. What are you going to do when you come in someday and all that area is taken up by strangers? Are you going to go, praise the Lord? Wow, this is fantastic. Are you ready for that? I'm telling you, we need to get ready. Ready for whatever God wants to do. God will let us know when it's coming if we're listening, so you can get ready. You know, the children of Israel were going into the promised land. And I'm talking about when they really were going in. And the Lord told Joshua to tell them to get ready. And I'm telling you, we got to get ready. I remember when we left our old building. I kept talking about it. Even preached messages about it. We're leaving this building. It's a big deal when you've been in a location for over 45 years. It's a big deal to leave a location. We told them when we sold it. We told them we got land bought. We told them we're going to be moved. We're going to be leaving. We've been talking about it. You know, they had a building fund for several years, even before I came back as pastor. They already had a building fund. What do you got a building fund for? Because we're going to move. And yet, when the day came, when we said, this will be our last service, there were people that were there every Sunday that said, what? What? What are you talking about? Now, this isn't just about a building, all right? The message is not about a building. I hope you're applying this in your life. You just need to be ready for what God wants to do. But it does apply here. I think I think we're going to be ready to move into a new building, but I'm telling you, it's coming, so get ready. Next, we need to be ready to minister. Need to be ready to serve. Need to be ready to work for the Lord. I know we're living in the day of consumer Christianity where, you know, it's Mac Church. You can go to church, put a little in the offering, and let the professional ministry, they got somebody paid to do everything. You don't have to change no diapers. They got people paid to do that. They got people paid to take care of every class, every musician is paid. Everybody's paid. They got the professional ministry to do it all. All you got to do is show up, throw a little in the plate, have it your way. But I'm telling you, that's not Bible. That's not what the Word of God teaches. The Bible teaches that we all have a part in the body of Christ, that every one of us has a function, that we are all needed and necessary, and that every one of us has gifts and abilities that are supposed to be used. That's the way the body of Christ works. And I'm telling you, we need to be ready to work, to minister, to serve. It takes effort to be ready. Like the preacher says, I didn't have time to prepare this week. We'll just have to trust the Holy Spirit this morning. Now, when they say we'll just have to trust the Holy Spirit this morning, what do they do the rest of the time? I mean, aren't they trusting God when they do prepare? But here's what I want to get at. You know what? There's some truth in that. When you're under the gun and you don't have time to take care of this or do that, certainly God makes a way. But I'm telling you, a lot of the time, you see, faith gets, or that's not really faith. Yeah, that's what kind of stuff that gives faith a bad name. But people in the name of faith can be slothful and lazy and not do what they're supposed to do. And I'm just telling you that it's not Bible for a man of God, a preacher, to not be prayed up and full of the Word and ready to preach. But I want to tell you something else. God's people are all supposed to be prayed up, full of the Word, ready to go, ready to do what we do. Let me tell you what limits and hinders in the body of Christ. We're not ready. In fact, I think there's a lot of people that are sincere in the sense that they want to do something for God, but they're not ready. You got to get ready. You got to be ready. I used to have a friend. He always said, you say, are you ready? He'd say, I stay ready to keep from getting ready. I don't know what that means, but anyway, the point is, though, you got to stay ready. You got to be ready for whatever God has. Be ready to be used of God. 1 Peter 3:15 in the NIV, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Are you ready? When people ask you why you're happy, now, if they're not asking you why you're happy, you quit being so grumpy and act like a Christian. Listen, when they ask you how come you got joy, when they ask you how come when the economy's all going bad and everybody's griping about everything, instead you're saying, praise the Lord, God's taking care of me. You got a good report when everybody's got a bad report. You got to be ready to give them an answer. We need to be ready to tell others about our faith. Now listen, when I say that, that doesn't mean you have to memorize chapters and chapters of the Bible, but it just means that you need to be ready to talk about your faith. And certainly you can know a little bit of Scripture. I mean, you can at least know at it. You can know it well enough to talk about it, can't you? I'm just telling you, if it's important to you, you'll do it. But as we grow in the Lord, we certainly need to grow in ministry and, as the Bible says, bear more fruit. Bear much fruit. But you got to be prepared. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. In season and out of season. That means seasons. That means when it's easy and when it's not so easy. You know, it's not always easy to minister. It's not always pleasant. It's not always just, you know, a walk in the park. In fact, you probably more times of the other than that. And here's what I want to say to you. You see, We can just say, well, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Well, what do? Do you teach a class? Play on the worship team? Help with the offering? Work at the CD table? See, whatever you do, you need to be ready. The good times and the bad times, when it's easy, when it's not so easy, you're ready. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you know what? I know that preachers certainly need to rightly divide the word of truth, but you need to know the Bible. You need to be a student of the word, to be studying the Bible. Why? Because God will give you opportunities to minister to people, and you need to be ready. Be diligent. Diligent. Be diligent. The NIV says, do your best. Are you doing your best? Whatever we do for God, we want to do with excellence. Whether it's teaching four-year-olds or singing on the worship team, serving as an usher, you do the best job that you can because you're doing it as unto the Lord. Can you imagine what our music would sound like if our worship team never practiced their instruments? They all just got up there. Now, I know, you know, back in the day, as they say, some churches had that attitude. Oh, it don't matter. You got an instrument? Just get up there and honk on it. It'll all be good. What key y'all are in? We don't know. Just find one and get in it. Y'all all heard that baloney, right? But I'm telling you, you talk about an ugly noise. And by the way, that so is not scriptural. We're supposed to do everything with excellence. And the Bible says in Psalms 33 and 3, play skillfully. Why in the world should the church not have good musicians? Have tenth-rate music. Why? Why? We ought to have the very best. And I'm just telling you that the key is that we do what we do as unto the Lord. We do our very best for God. I want you to get ready. That's part of my job, is to help you get ready. Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The NIV, where it says equipping, the NIV says to prepare God's people for works of service. See, that's part of the vocational ministry. That's part of their job, is to get you ready for the work of the ministry. Titus 3:1 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. You ready for every good work? I got one amen and a bunch of silence. Ready for every good work. Are you ready? Get ready. First thing we need to do, if we're going to be ready, is spend time in the Word and in prayer. Because I'm telling you, you can't have anything to offer anybody that'll make a difference in their life apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. And we get that as we pray and we spend time in the Word, then He anoints us. Listen. We got to be good stewards of the abilities that God has given to us. And we use those gifts and we develop them. But you make every effort to be effective and do what you do for God with excellence. Act like we're working for the King of Kings. I'm not this good of an example, so I'll use somebody else as an example. I heard a man many years ago, in fact, with a number of well-known speakers, I've heard them say things like this, but one in particular, he said, I spend an hour in preparation for every minute that I speak. If I speak 30 minutes, I prepare 30 hours. I'm not that good of an example, by the way, as I said. If I did, you would never be able to reach me, especially if I'm preaching twice a week. And I've heard that from a similar thing from many well-known speakers that you see on TV, that they spend hours and hours and hours to prepare for one message. 20, 30 hours is not uncommon. But here's what I want to say about that. You see, there's a reason that they were so well known. They're not just sort of good at what they do. They're excellent at it. And it's not all. Listen, I didn't say that they're not gifted, but it's not all just because God zapped them with a gift. They're working at it. They're doing their very best. And I'm just telling you that we all need to have that mentality that we want to do our very best for God. It's too easy to use faith as a cop-out for laziness and foolishness. Listen, God saved Noah and his family from the flood. Amen? But Noah had to get ready. And it took him a long time, and it was a lot of work, but he had to get ready. And I'm telling you, God will move. God will do his part, but we got to get ready. We need to be ready for whatever comes. Do you know that every day is not sunshine? So here it comes. Get ready for the storms, because they're coming. Be ready for the storms of life. So many get disillusioned and they shrink back in their faith when a storm comes. We need to be ready when that storm comes that we're going to stand. I think we do people a disservice when we act like if they'll just be a Christian that all their problems are going to go away, everything's going to be easy. No, it just doesn't work like that. Listen, the difference is as a Christian, when you obey God, you're going to come out on the other side of the storm. But you got to be ready. We're going to have troubles. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. But I'm telling you, so many people wait until the world is falling apart around them, and then they start trying to get ready. No, you got to be ready. I know that God is gracious. He's merciful. And we've all had times when we were in a mess and God just reached in and lifted us up out of the pit. But I'm telling you, it's much better to be in that place where we are blessed, where God is taking care of us because we're ready. We've done the things that we're supposed to. So how do you get ready for the storms of life? Well, here's the quick answer. By obeying the Word of God. Matthew 7:24 says, "Whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Listen, what made the difference is whether or not you build your life on the Word of God. You want to know how come some people just come through the storm so easily? Because they're building their life on the Word of God. They're going to have storms now. See, if you're building your life on the Word of God and you're going through a terrible storm, don't you start saying God didn't keep His Word, God let you down. No, you need to stand. That's the time to stand by faith. God will bring you through. So, how do you get ready? You obey the Word of God. See, here's how you deal with the teenage typhoon is that you deal with the two-year-old tornado. See, I'm just telling you, you want to get ready for the teenage years? Well, you start when they're little bitty. We've got a whole slew of parents. I'm not talking about our church, all right? I'm talking about in this generation. This generation, here's the norm. Here's the pattern. Whatever little darling wants to do, you know, we don't want to repress their personality. I repressed my kids' personality all the time, every day, if they needed it. By the way, if you're consistent, you don't hardly ever have to spank your kids. Let me tell you, you have to spank their kids all the time. People, they're inconsistent. You just be consistent, and I'm telling you, your kids will learn discipline. They will learn to obey. But if you don't deal with them when they're little, then when they're big, you're going to be pulling your hair out saying, I brought them to church. I don't know what went wrong. You got to build your life on the Word of God by obeying the Word of God. And the Word of God, by the way, this is just an example, okay? But the Word of God makes it very clear that you are to discipline your children. Anybody understand the word discipline? Listen, the word discipline doesn't just mean punish. It doesn't mean spank. It doesn't mean beat. It means to teach, to discipline that child. They need discipline. A child left to itself will bring disgrace to its mother. That's what the Bible says, and I'm telling you, if you don't do it, you got a storm coming that you don't want. Well, let's talk about finances for a minute. Because we're all going to have storms financially. Some people come right through the storm with no problems. They just come out the other side like there wasn't even a storm. How can that be? I'm telling you, you got to build your life on the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells us to be wise, and we need to be wise with what God blesses us with. Do you know in Proverbs it says even the ants are smart enough to store up? How many of you are smart as an ant? At least, right? Some of you are thinking, well, I don't store up, I guess. No. Listen, the Bible says even the ant stores up. And you store up in the good times. You ever had a good time? Some of you about to have a good time where that refund check comes in. And I've known people, man, every year when that refund check comes from the, they're so excited. What am I going to buy? Put it in the bank for a rainy day, also known sometimes as a stormy day. I'm preaching good right now, aren't I, Brother Nichols? Listen, that's how you weather the storm. Oh, well, I'm just going to trust God. I bought me a new 52-inch TV, and I'll just trust God if a storm comes. You're disobeying the Word. You need to be wise. Preacher's gone to meddling. Well, it's going to get worse. You need to be obedient in your tithes. If you're obedient in the tithe, then God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. When the storm comes, God will take care of you. You might lose a job. You might have a car wreck. You might have all kinds of problems going on. But somehow or another, God will bring you through. I've heard people say over the years, we don't know where the money went. And as the Lord is my witness, there's been many times when I've said, I don't know where the money came from. And I'm just telling you, God will bless if we'll be obedient and do what we're supposed to do. By the way, nobody doesn't tithe because they don't believe that we don't have to do that. The reason they don't tithe is because they don't believe the promise that follows. Because whether you believe you have to do it or not, if you believe the promise that follows in Malachi where he says to tithe, there's no way you wouldn't do it. It's not a matter of do I have to do it. If this is true, that he will open the windows of heaven and pour me out blessings I cannot contain and rebuke the devourer for my sake, then I would be not very smart to not tithe, whether I have to do it or not. I'm telling you how you get ready for the storms. Now, I just talked about children and teenagers and money for a little bit, but I'm just telling you the whole of the Word of God. You see, we build our lives on the Word, and when we do, then when storms come, we're ready. Next, you got to be ready for a fight. I don't mean you're going out looking for trouble. I've seen those people, hadn't you? That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, we are in a fight. We got to fight the good fight of faith. And there is none of this, you know, you just can't hide. You can't get away from it. You're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. You know why? Because you have an enemy. And here's what I want to say to you. You got to be prepared for that fight. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Vigilant. Are you vigilant? See, what that means be alert, be ready. Listen, Mr. Devil, leave me alone and all that. That doesn't work. Listen, you got to be alert and ready because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I'm telling you, you can see his destruction. You can see the lives that have been destroyed all around you in our world. People think the devil's not real. Who are you kidding? Of course, those are the same people that blame God for all of that. That's the work of Satan. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But we got to be prepared. We got to be ready to fight the good fight of faith. And I love the way Peter says that. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Listen, he's not talking about not being drunk. That's a given, all right? He's talking about being alert, that you're vigilant, ready all the time. That you're watching, you're ready. Ready for whatever the enemy tries to bring against you. See, a lot of people just kind of live their lives haphazardly. They're not being vigilant. They give no thought to their actions. They end up allowing their sinful desires to lead them in a wrong direction instead of being led by the Spirit. Remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan? He was ready. Every time Satan quoted the scripture and tried to deceive Jesus, Jesus quoted a scripture right back to him. He was loaded for bear or lion. He was ready. And I'm telling you, you need to be ready. See, when the enemy comes against you, and he works through deception. When he starts trying to deceive you, get you thinking wrong. See, if he can get you thinking wrong, he can get you bound up. He can destroy you if he can get you thinking wrong. That's how this whole thing started. He deceived Eve. He got her. He got Adam and Eve thinking that God was holding back on them. And I'm telling you, he'll come at you and start trying to deceive you and trick you, mess you up. But if you know the word, if you're ready, you'll speak the word to him. You'll resist him, and he's got to flee from you. Be ready for his schemes. Stay prayed up. Jesus told the disciples to pray lest they enter into temptation. Stay prayed up. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to be ready for his return. Ready for his return. Well, there's a lot of people, too many, that aren't ready. They think someday they'll get right with God. Or they think someday they'll get serious. There's a lot of people in church that think someday they'll really sell out, really commit their lives. You need to get ready. Matthew 24:44 says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Be ready for his return. You know, being ready for his return doesn't mean we're sitting and waiting and watching the eastern sky. People go sit out in the lawn chair with their binoculars watching the eastern sky. He's coming any day, any minute. I'm watching for him. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be working until he comes. Listen, I want to be ready for reward. Are you ready for the Lord to come back? Well, I have a confession. I'm not ready. I didn't say I wasn't right with God. I didn't say that I don't love his appearing. But when he comes, he's bringing something with him. And I'm not done. I love his appearing, and I want the Lord to come, but another part of me, I don't want him to come yet, because I'm not done. I mean, there's things that I want to do for God and things that I believe I'm supposed to do, and I'm not done. And I'm just telling you, you better get ready for a reward, because He's bringing a reward with Him. Revelations 22 and 12 says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone all the same." Is that what it says? You know, that's what most Christians think. Oh yeah, it's all going to be the same. No, it's not. He's going to reward us according to our work. Let me explain this to you. None of us gets into heaven by our works. Nobody. There's only one way. It is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our works are filthy righteousness. None of us can earn our way into heaven. But when we get there, we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We will all stand at the judgment seat of Christ, where we will be judged, the Bible says, not for punishment. It says we will be judged for reward. And I'm telling you, the Scripture over and over makes it clear. And not only in the letters of Paul, but even in the teaching of Jesus. When Jesus tells the parable about the stewards, and when he talks about the three who were given talents, that the ones who were faithful, he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And the one who had been faithful, he says, "You've been faithful in little, you'll be trusted with much." And I'm telling you that when we get to heaven, it ain't all the same. There's going to be all different levels of reward in heaven. But let me read this to you from, this is just one of those passages that deals with this, but 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15, it says, "If anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each man's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." In other words, listen, if people have really received the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're going to make it to heaven. They're going to get in by the blood of Jesus. But it's what we do that determines our reward. Colossians 3, 23 and through 25. "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." See, God's not partial. You do what you're supposed to do. You work for the Lord. You serve the Lord. You live for God. He's going to reward you. And I just want to encourage you tonight, be ready. Be ready for what God wants to do. Be ready to minister, to use your gifts, to have an answer to everybody. And when God gives you an opportunity, that you're ready for that opportunity, because you prayed and you've been reading your Bible. You've been getting ready. Be ready when a storm comes, that you're not caught off guard, but that you're ready. When Satan tries to attack and come in and destroy, that you're ready. Be ready for his return. Be ready for that reward. It's coming. I want to read it one last time. I'm going to close. Revelations 22, 12. "I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Stand with me and let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the word of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this challenge, this encouragement, this reminder, Lord, that we need to be ready. And I pray, Father, that in our hearts, Lord, it'll just burn in us, Lord, a renewed desire and hunger for the Word of God. Lord, a renewed desire to pray, a renewed desire to be used of you, Lord, and to make a difference in this world. Because, Lord, I believe that our time is short. And, Lord, I want to be ready when you come. And, Father, I just pray that you bless my brothers and sisters tonight. Lord, that as we go out from this place, we go strong in the Lord, strengthened in our faith, and we're going to make ready. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. You're dismissed.